Okay. Rabbi Black Shalita began the discussion, which is in the Siman that we're dealing with now, Siman Kuf Lamed Dalet. It's properly called Sif Dalet, although in the type that we have, it's two hay. That's where the problem comes from. And in the new edition, which you can actually read, it's Sif Dalet. So we'll refer to it as that. And I would like to focus on the first part of the Ramah, which reads as follows. Ruadinim kibo kinyan legarish. That is not a problem. Aval im kibo olav knossos im lo yigarish lo mikrayonis. Excuse me, the first case was an onus, but the kibbutz of knossos is not an onus. May acha de tola gito bedover acher, the yochol lita na knossos v'lo legarish. Who said so? Beis Yosef b'shem tshuva v'chenu b'marik, shem b'psokim. Yesh machmir mafilu b'chai gavna. Who said so? Tshuva se rashbo chelik dalet simen mem. The tov lochosh l'chatchila l'potro min haknas, aval im kvar girish mipnei zeh, Vafilu girish mikorach shvua shosu miatzmo the garish haget kosher hoil umetchila lo ansu valkach. Who said so? Shuvas haritva. That's what I want to talk about. These few lines in the Ramah, but these few lines in the Ramah are very important lines, and they affect many things. Many things. Okay. Let me first begin by telling you what I think is the proper pshat in this shuvas harajba. I believe it's the proper shot. That's not, I believe. The Mishkan Nes Yaakov said it before. The Mishkan Nes Yaakov explained. He said many things, but what I think is the most accurate of them is, and the Pisachet Shuva quotes here in Sivkot Yud, the Mishkan Nes Yaakov at length, here in Sivkot Yud in Pisachet Shuva, so it's the Mishkan Nes Yaakov Simon Lamed Ches. And it's a machlokas between the Rashba and the other Rishonim, it seems, goes back to a different machlokas completely, a machlokas in Choshen Mishpat. It's really not a machlokas in Eben Ezer at all. It's a machlokas in Choshen Mishpat. Thank you, Rabbi Roy. I believe it can be found in Simon Reish Mem Beis in Choshen Mishpat, Sif Yud. It goes back to a machlokas between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch on the one hand, and the Rach on the other hand, with respect to what's called unsur d'nafshei. A person does something because of an onus, but the onus is of his own making. It's of his own making. So what's the din in that kind of a case? You look carefully in the Rishonim and Atzaf Babasudaf Mem, you'll see it's a machlokas. According to the Shitas Rambam Shulchan Aruch, not considered to be an onus. What you do based on that onus is valid because you made it of your own making. And according to the Rach, it's no matter, since you right now are in a situation of onus, no matter what the background is irrelevant. Right now it's considered to be an onus, and therefore the mekach, you must get, the mekach, or the maton, or whatever it may be, is bota. That's the machlok. The mechaba paskins that it is chal in choshen mishpat. The Pisachet Shuvah towards the end of Sifkot and Yud quotes, this is all from the Mishkan of Yaakov. The Ikus Svaras HaMekila B'Mishakibul of Knas Me'atma Osh Nishba Legarish with the Unsa Dinav Shein Lo Haveyonis. That is correct. Hare Rabin Migdoli of Rishonim Cholkin V'Sovin De B'Matona Gam Unsa Dinav Shein Haveyonis. Umimelo to who I didn't get. That is also correct. I don't take an argument the Mishkan of Yaakov. Only thing is, his last point, Uvishal Torah Uvifrat B'Yisra Erva Yesh Lahachmir Kidivrehem Yaakov Ponim Lachatchil Lehecha D'Yavshal Tukuni. Period. So that I believe this is the correct statement from beginning to end. I think it's totally correct. My small little contribution to it is that if I looked in the Rashba in Baba Basra, which I don't know if it was even printed in those days. I'm not sure when it was printed, the Rashba in Baba Basra, where he again is note to the opinion of the Rabbeinu Hananel, which confirms the wisdom of the Mishkan of Yaakov. He quotes the other opinion of the Rambam, It says Aval Midirvi Harach, and that's what he quotes last, and quotes at a greater length. So I believe that that's exactly what the Rashba means, in which the Rashba is self-explanatory. It's a Dava Pashat Ma'od. This goes against an entire literature which attempts to explain the Rashba in a whole series of different ways. I don't think it's right. I think this is the right shot. What are these different ways? So there are two different ways that I know about. They're both alluded to in the Sefer Chazon Ish. One of them, how can it be? How can the Rashba argue it? What do you mean? It's everyone understands it's of a poshut. They were working with the assumption that it's Kunsid and Asher, you Makabal on yourself. How can that be considered invalid? So Iba the Rashba said the get is no good. So they start giving pshatim. Let's see. He quotes the Pesach Tshuva, who quotes the this is in Siman Tzadik Tes in Chazon Ish Sifkotin Hey. Rav Asher Daf Mem quotes the Gemara, quote to the Rambam, it's not considered to an onus. This is a Mozor, alright, Das Harach Daf below Mozor Choshev Onus, quote on the Torah Siman Reish Mem Bey. He never does rach. How can I be get up unto the nafshei mevatel gita? That's what he says. Okay, so far so good. We're all on the same page. But here's where the problem starts. I'm going to read it to you. V'nei kol zeh im eino chayev min adin haknas. Avo v'chayev min adin haknas. V'rotel lipotem imenu ein de ones. The adrab. Eino nifter min haknas im yasa dover lifonim. V'alkarachach k'dei l'mifter miknasa rotsim b'chalos haget u'kima b'nos nomama k'dei l'garsha lo chashvina li'ones v'hochanamir emarviach haknas shu chayav v'ein z'ones ala rotsim b'get v'sharviach hamamin. So the Chazon Ish is bothered by the fact that here there's harvachas mamon, and harvachas mamon, it's not a matana. Matana will say it's toyu v'yoyv. But Arvochas Mammon is Toyu Vizovin Zvini Zvini. This is what bothers the Chazon Ish about this pshat. However, and we'll see, because of this, he's going to suggest something else. If you look in the Tshuva to Rashba, you will see that the Rashba explicitly rejects this. That you cannot compare someone who's getting out of a knas with someone who's receiving money. We can spend time in the lumbus therein. Why should that be so? If you ask your accountant, it's the same thing. And what's the difference if I'm getting away with paying money or if I'm getting new money? But the Rashba in that same tshuva explicitly makes this distinction. So I don't see that the Chazon Ish's point is really valid. Now, yeah. In the case of the person who has accepted the knas upon himself, and now in order to get the knas off his back, he's going to give a get. So he's interested in giving the get to receive money. What's he receiving? He's receiving an exemption from paying the knas. If you, there's a big distinction in the Gemara Baba Basra between Toyu V'yoyev. I'm sorry, I didn't get one to the. I assume everyone knew what I was saying. Toyu V'yoyev. If you're forced to give something, it's no good. If you're forced to sell something, it is good because you're getting something in return. Right? So the Poskim say it's any part of these kinds of get situations. So the Chazon Ish says, here's a case of Zovin. Because what's he gaining? He's gaining the fact that he doesn't have to give the knas. If the get is no good, he has to give the knas. He wants the get to be good to avoid giving the knas. So even according to the Rach, suggests the Chazon Ish, it should be good over here. So for this reason, he gives a different pshat. A different pshat is Hocha b'mayaskinon, where the knas really was not chal, was an asmachta. And so the knas is not chal apidin, so he's giving money to avoid paying an obligation which he doesn't have to pay at all, because it was an asmachta. What forces the chazanish to that pshat? Because the regular pshat to him is wrong, because it would be toyu v'zovin zvini zvini, because he's getting something in return. Manasa, as you look at the Tshuva Sirajim, it says, you cannot compare someone who's giving me money then we say Tayyub is of an agav zuzia that I'm receiving money in my hand, then we do apply the principle, as opposed to someone who's getting away with money, where the principle doesn't apply. That you could argue forever, but we're trying to think of Shat and Rashi. So therefore, this to me is difficult. That's number one. Number two, as pointed out in Bekitz and Nimritz here in the Chazon Ish, it's a whole theory that can be found by Rabbi Dick Shalita, who wrote this in the Sefer HaYovel HaGrid, which is a hard to find Sefer. You can't really get that too well, man. I don't know too many people who have it, but it's there. He says, you look at, but the Beis Yosef didn't quote the whole Tshuvas HaRashba. That's true. He didn't quote the whole thing from the Shoyel. The Shoyel made a reference to the fact that if the guy will not pay up the knas, they'll put him b'mishmar. Doesn't mean Thursday night mishmar, we'll learn all night. Mishmar means jail. Oh, jail. Jail, you understand. That's already given. What's the jail? But as long as jail does not come into the picture, the Rashba never said it would be a get Musa. It's sharp. I can't say no. It is found in the shale, but the tshuva makes no mention, to my knowledge, of Israel. Attacked him on the spot. Correct. Remember Rabbi Dick, Rabbi Judah Dick. He's an attorney from Borough Park. A very fine person, and he wrote a very. It's a nice piece, and it's a nice machshava. It's a nice hatzah. The tshuva of the Rashba makes no reference to this idea of mishmer whatsoever, so it's really hard to. And why should we look for other pshatim? I think the basic pshat is correct. The pshat of the Mishnah Siakam is correct. The Rashba holds like the Rabbeinu Chananel. That's my little whole self. As you look on the new Rashba that we have in Baba Basra, that's the pshat. Of course, then the question comes: how do we pass it in the Shaila? So the Mishnah Siakam says, although the Tur and the Shulchan Aruch reject the Rach and Choshen Mishpat. Here we're talking about the Indian of Gittin. So the Chatchila, we should follow the Rashba. Why not the Chatchila? Here's the answer, I thought. That this is not a machlokas really in Hilchas Gittin. This is a machlokas that has nothing to do with Gittin. This is a machlokas in Choshen Mishpat. Now, when a machlokas in Choshen Mishpat ultimately impacts Hilchas Gittin, the general rule of the poskim is we pass in Choshen Mishpat, we pass in the way it is, and we transfer it over to Hilchas Gittin as is. We don't try to re-evaluate the entire Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat, but we move it over to this part of Evan HaEz. And therefore, since the Shulchan Aruch paskins unequivocally like the Rambam against Rabbi Nachananel, so therefore, you want to be Machmir, can't hurt. But it's not Me'ikir Adin. This is the way I read the Ramah, and I think it fits in very nicely with this pshat in the Mishkanah Siyakim. Shalom to the pshat of the Chazon Ish, and Shalom the pshat of Rabbi Dick, both of whom say that the whole discussion with the Rashi was only in a unique case, either with the Smachta or they threatened him in jail. And I don't think that's true. I think the Rashi was Taka Machmir in every case of Knas Smachta Masasra, the Shitosim of the Basra. Only thing is, we don't pass like that, Me'ikar Adin. That's what I think. This is what I call the simple of shah. The simple of shah. Okay, that's what I wanted to begin with. This is a very, very important discussion. Now, the lashon of the Ramah, however, is somewhat complex. Let's read the lashon of the Ramah one more time. When the Ramah is speaking at the beginning, Avlam kibul of knosis im lo yigaresh lo mikre ones. Why? He throws in two separate expressions. If you look on the new tour, he points out that the Ramah put together two different expressions into one sentence, and it's really not coming from one source. Okay. What are the two expressions? Me'achad de tola gito bedover acher, number one. V'yachol lito naknosos v'lo legarish, number two. Two different expressions in the Ramah we have. Two different lines of reasoning. I'm sorry. Lafuke. Shavua. Could be. But in Shavuah later on, in Shavuah, afilu girish mikoach Shavuah she'asa me'atmo legarish haget kosher holu mitchila lo and su valkach. See, this I understand. This is plain English. This comes from the Ritva. This is the Ritva saying, look, it holu mitchila lo and su valkach, which means it's an effect of unto the nafshei. That I understand. The Ramosha is said on top. Unto the nafshei. V'yesh machfirin v'chira gavna d'rashmo. Who doesn't hold to Muslims in our shavings? That's why I would have been so glad. I wish Rama would have said that. He said it at the end with respect to Shavuah. Why did he say it at the beginning with respect to Knas? Now, what did he say? You know, why he didn't say that? We can muse why he didn't say it. But what exactly did he say? What's he driving at? That's what's not completely clear. Mm-hmm. I'm sure where. Somewhere, as I recall, in a footnote, they point out that this really the Rama put two different parts of reasoning together. Right now I can't find it. So the question is, all right, what do these two things mean, and where do they come from? So the first expression, me'acha shetolo gito v'dover acher, comes from the Beis Yosef in the name of the famous tshuva. What tshuva? She was a Rav Rabbeinu Maimon Najah. I still don't know what it is. Rav Maimon Najah is quoted by the Beit Yosef. He's the one who said a lashon. I don't remember. Kosa Rav Rabbeinu Maimon Najar, that's what it's supposed to be. It's quoted by the Tashbates, Knesset Gdola. Here is Maimon Noir, supposed to be Najar, with a Jimel, with a Gimel, with a. That's what. That's what's coming from. Okay. This is again footnote Lamed Ches in the new tour. In any event, that's where that expression comes from. What is that expression? What does it mean? The second expression, we know where that comes from. The idea of Utsu de Nafshei, at the end, that comes from the Marik and the Ritva, comes from many people. The Shavuah said it by Shur, the Marik said it by Knas, that's fine. The middle expression, V'yocholita naknas v'lo legarish, I'm not sure where that comes from. Because he quotes, it says, Be'shoz v'shem ha'tshuva, that's the first var. He's a Tolim Dovaracha. The Marik that he quotes doesn't say that. Marik says, Utsu de Nafshei. That's what I would have said. That's what he said to Ramos later on in the name of the Ritva. Where does it say, V'yocho litan haknosis v'lo legarish? I'm not sure where it says that. I really don't know. If you could tell me, I wasn't able to locate the first source for that expression. By the way, there are posthumous who get very excited with this expression. They say the only time it gets going to be good is if he has the ability to pay the knas. If he doesn't have the ability to pay the knas, then perhaps it would be no good. I'm not sure. Again, I don't know. I don't want to say yes or no about that. I'd like to look at the source where that comes from. Yochol ita naknosis v'lo legarish. So you have to really be able to do that. The theory you have to be that you can do it. We understand. Do practically. I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it. So I'm not exactly sure where it's coming from. So I don't know. If someone could find it for me, I'd be appreciative. Don't know exactly where it comes from. Oh. Fine. The idea of me'achat t'tola gito b'dover acher is something which requires a careful analysis. What case are we talking about? The pashas we're talking about a case of where, in which the obligation, the t'tola gito b'dover acher, it's a knas, some side point, is what we call kiddin, which means it took effect. Not like the Chazanish. Chazanish wants to say the machloikas, the Raja, with the others, is it was an asmachta. And it didn't really take effect. Afal P came, since he's giving the get to avoid a monetary penalty, the get's going to be good. Because it's a quote, Tfiyah B'davar Acher. So writes the Chazanish, L'shitoso, he couldn't believe that the Raja would be machmir in a case where it was really effective. She was forced that her ashes was malchum in a case where it was not effective. That makes the mekilim a limit, are makil even in a case where it's not effective. Everything goes down a step. Lefia niyaz daiti. The Rasha was only making in the case where the knas was effective. Well, excuse me, the Rasha was not even in the case where the knas was effective. Did take effect, was not an asmachta. And only in that case are the mekil and mekil. This takes me to my, leads me into my main part of today's chabura, which is such a serious problem, which affects just about every single guest. This is mamash a global problem. A global problem. There is a get law in New York State. We are learning all the minutiae of every get, how it's given, this and that, how you spell this, and what you do with that. According to some authorities, including some sitting in this room, every get given in New York State in the last almost 12 years is presumed to be batel. Batel is a right, if I'm not mistaken. Unless proven otherwise. Unless there are a few cases. Maybe only the Rabbanan. Rav Leich has written about this extensively in both in Hebrew and in English. And I'm not going to repeat everything that he said. If he wants to talk about his chabur, that's certainly wonderful. I'm going to try to just, can't avoid the issue that he tackled. But I'm going to speak about what others have had to say about this issue. A number of English publications I'm going to refer to today, and the one in Hebrew. I'll try going sort of in chronological order how this has developed. This, again, I'm purposely not quoting what Rabbi Bleich said because you can read it, and then you can also ask go back to the source. That's how you can ask him yourself. But it's both in English and it's in Hebrew for sure, and it's in Ben Tzivos Halacha for sure. It's in Hebrew. You wrote about this for sure. You wrote in English, I think. Never in English. I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. So you have to look at it. You have to know Hebrew to get to Rabbi Black's. I stand correct. Okay, so I'm going to give you some. The Shabbos is speaking in English. What are some interesting samples? This is a Journal of Halach and Contemporary Society. This came out. It's Rosh Chodesh night. It's talking about Chodesh Nissan. It came out in spring, Pesach, 1994, 5754. It's exactly 10 years old, this idea. Quote, a dispute between Rabbi Chaim Malinowitz and Rabbi Gedaliah Dov Schwartz about the get law. It may have been one of the first things written in English. I'm not discussing letters. I'm discussing printed material on the topic. Rabbi Malinowitz, who wrote first, points out, and that's where the connection to what we spoke about until now, that there's a major problem with every get given after this law was enacted. Why? Because a person is given the get to avoid a financial obligation imposed upon him by the state of New York. I'm not going to go into all the, I'll leave it for you, we can read all the details. To make a long story very short, there's the concept called equitable distribution, and it's the concept of maintenance, and a law in 92 was passed to give a judge, the judge is to take into account, and among many other considerations, the failure of the husband to remove a barrier to the remarriage of his wife. I mean, the get. If you won't give her a get, then instead of, let's say, splitting the possessions 50-50, the judge can give her much more money than to give him. And he can also increase minor alimony. Must. That's Rabbi Bleich is, as usual, on target. There are those who have been followed, I think, I'm not a lawyer, he's a professor of law. I also read it where Rabbi Bleich read it, contrary to others, that it's must. I think you're right. I was trying to be talk to Lushan, even cat is not so push it, but must is certainly worse. Okay. Fine. So comes along. Okay. So I'm going to read you, Rabbi Malinowitz. I'll read you a paragraph. superficially, though, the get bill might be construed as indirect coercion. And he quotes the Tshuva Sarivosh, Kuf Chav Zayin, that's quoted in this area. Right. Indirect coercion occurs when the party is being coerced for a different matter, and the giving of the get can free him from that coercion. This is not deemed coercion on the get, hence the get would be valid. So that's what one could argue at first glance. Upon reflection, it is clear this is not so. Why? It all depends how you read this Ramah. Why? All poskim agree that the above rule about indirect coercion applies only if the coercion for that quote side matter is in and of itself halachically justifiable. Who said so? The Rivash and the Tashbeit. I think this is completely correct. I do not believe that it's correct to say that all poskim agree. I don't think that the Chazon Ish agrees. Because again, to go back to our beginning. Let's start again. Back to the beginning. That's why I have to start at the beginning. The way I start learning Pshat in the Rashba, is simply the Shitasa, Unsa de Nafshe, is not called an Uns. And the other posts call the Shitasa, like the Mechab and Ramon, Choshe Mishra, but that it isn't. What did I say backwards? The Rashba holds that Unsa de Nafshe is an Uns. And the other rogue posts can say, it's not an Uns. It's glad it's simple. The Chazon Ish, because he felt that Toyu Vizavin, Zvini Zvini, because you get your Marviach, the Knas, was forced to either hold like the Shoyal, which he mentions briefly, that it's Mishmer, you put him into jail. He makes a quick brief allusion to that, put that aside, that's not found in the Tshuva Rashi, but only in the Shoyal. Or, the Chazon Ish suggests, Hakav Mayaskinon, where the Knas is in fact invalid, because it's an Asmachta. So therefore, in truth, I believe what Rabbi Linowitz says is correct. That if the Rivash says the Knas HaSodavarachah is okay, only if it's valid. That you have an obligation, that's a real obligation to do that quote Davarachah. To say that all posts can agree with it, I think it's a bit of an overstatement. I think according to the Chazon Ish, it's not that way. Because again, the Chazon Ish, if I understand it correctly, understands that the Machlok, that the Rashba would be makil in a case in which the Knas is effective al pidim. He's mach, but only in the case in which the knas is not effective al pidin, and therefore the first day in Ramah is makel even in that kind of a situation. So I believe that he would hold contrary to what Rabbi Molina was saying. But I'm agreeing with halacha Rabbi Molina was completely. All posts can agree that the above rule about indirect coercion applies only if the coercion for that quote side matter is in and of itself halachically justifiable. Unless I'm misreading Rabbi Willis, I think he means what is the truth. The truth is that the whole dispute between the... Rabbi Black, as usual, is correct. Okay? So in other words, Rabbi Malinowitz is saying, even in a case which is, where this, our whole discussion until now has been Unsa Dinafshe. Correct. If it's not Unsa Dinafshe, it's simply being imposed by a judge, then I guess all posts can agree. Okay, good. I misread it because I was coming from a different direction. Okay, I'll PK. I want. Should be right. Correct. Now, this is important for the following reason. There's another dispute amongst the...
But you couldn't read me differently if you wanted to.
Okay, good. So that's it. Fine. You're right. It's not the Sefer HaSodavarus, but Afal Pi Ken. I want to check present the issue clearly. There was a big issue among the various, both Rabbonim and even involving some legal scholars, as to what exactly is the nature of this get law. It was drafted poorly, hastily, outrageously, if I may use that word. David Black is not correcting me on that language.
I'll be mild.
Okay. And therefore, you know, you don't know.
Constitutionally also.
Okay.
Don't
okay.
Outside of this rule.
Okay. Okay. What exactly is it saying, that law? Is the nature of the law as it was drafted and passed a kind of a penalty? We're going to penalize the husband for not giving a get? Is that what it really boils down to? Well, no, it's more parva than that. It's simply a support agreement. Straight, it should be viewed as some kind of a support agreement. A support agreement. So there were some authorities who were quibbling over it. Was it this, or was it that? And the suggestion was made, here I'll make my first reference to my Hebrew language source, which is a Yeshurun, which came out again in Nisan. This is the month. This is Tavshin Samach Al. This is a fairly recent vintage, 3 years old, in which there are a significant number of pieces here back and forth all about this topic. What I'm quoting you now is from Rabbi Gartner Shalita, the author of the Sefer Kfiyah Beget that we have here. Thank you. A very major work on this general topic. He's even once gave a chabur here in our kolo some years back. Some of you may remember.
I have
the tape. Okay. And that is that perhaps we're trying to repeal the law. That's the first thing. First, repeal it. We've been unsuccessful in repealing the law for a variety of reasons. I'm certainly not going to go into it right now. But the question became, if you can't beat him, maybe you should join him and try at least amend the law. That was the Maduba. There were some meetings took place some years ago. Actually, 6 years ago, when these meetings took place, Tavshin Nun Ches. And one of the points was, which is written by Rabbi Gartner himself, perhaps we should make an effort to clarify the law, that the law should be viewed explicitly as a support law instead of a penalty law. What do you gain with the difference? Who cares if it's a support law or if it's a penalty law? Mai naf kamina. It's a difference. If it's not kalocha, it's not kalocha. What's the difference if it's a support law or a penalty law? So, that exactly, of course, is the issue. In other words, if it's a penalty, it's worse. If it's a support, it can be somewhat better. How do you explain? Why should it be any better? So, Rabbi, I'm going to quote here from what Rabbi Gartner had to write about this topic, why he felt that if it was support, it might be a little bit better than if it's a penalty. Give me a minute if I can find it. Okay. We should amend the law that's just a matter of support and nothing. He has no ability to apply any penalties. Because if it's a penalty, he quotes, Isu Yashir ala get, direct coercion on the get. He's saying, give the get or else. That's a much more serious situation. However, if it's some kind of a support, then whether it's kedin or shalom kedin, maybe we can somehow make things a little bit better. What do you mean kedin or shalom kedin? What does that mean? Is it kedin or shalom kedin? Take a stand. Is it kedin or is it shalom kedin? He quotes the truth from Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin. Quote. The imloy achayvim zonaseh, rak shechivu be'akol shelo kedin haTorah, v'neimo she'ein b'zeh hadin, the dina demachus adina, o af im, dina demachus adina, gam b'zeh, etc. So Rav Moshe is of two minds as to whether you apply the principle of dina demachus adina with respect to court-ordered mizons. The Shaila. I would have said for sure you don't apply Dina de Malchus Adina. Why should you think that Dina de Malchus Adina should apply? It's between two Jews, right? I mean, between two Jews, the general rule is it doesn't apply. So you know, perhaps you've learned in the Sugya of Dina de Malchus that if it's taxation or currency, you're certainly about the Machlus Adina. There's another category in the Rav Moshe Tzamach Tes, which is Takonas B'nei HaMedina. That itself is a subject of Machlokes. But the Rav Moshe seems to say you would apply Takonas B'nei HaMedina. Rabbi Gardner says he thinks that perhaps this might be considered Tikkun HaMedina. And I'm quoting. Mikavan Shapirud Venish Liisha Nia Nafats Bedora Salalu. Ubaharbe Min Amikrim Echon Mehem Bedera Klala Isha. Nisha Lalo Mashein Umichya. Hare the Tikkun HaMedina Shirivavos Noshim Alalu Yamshichu the Kabal Ez the Tmichim Ibalem the Shavar. Vamom Shigvu Uberov Oyatilu Es Atman Al Kupas HaMedina. Okay. Not bad. Not bad. The women weren't working. Okay. I said not fair. I'm not saying it's certainly true. I leave the best effort that can be made to explain why Dina de Machus Dina should apply to these laws. I must tell you that even if it applies to the laws of, when was the first evolution? 30 years? When did it first start? Yeah, evolution. Not in my youth. 30 years ago, somewhere. Approximately, I'm just giving an estimation. You can look it up. Attorney, look it up for me. 30 years ago. I'm not convinced that the facts are true. I don't know. I have to go back to the draftsmanship of those. Yeah. That's not Rabbi Black is making a point I was going to come to in a minute, which is Rabbi Moshe wasn't talking about any of these laws. He was talking 20, 30 years ago. A long time ago he was talking. Okay. So, but even a long time ago, I'm not completely convinced that this is really the history. I have to go back. Maybe go back to some of the Ben. You can go back there to the
history. Yeah,
no. The history of when they changed the law in New York State from whatever it was until then, to equity distribution. I think until then what happened was that she'd go out with nothing. That's what I think. Basically. That's my recollection. He made all the money. He was the rich doctor. It was all his money. It was all his bank account. But that's even that concept, when did that start? 30. Let's say 30 years up. I'm what caused that? So Rabbi Gardner's arguing the cause that was that the women were going hungry. My guess is, let me give my guess, and you can please correct, see if I'm right. My guess is, it was the winds of change in Hashkafa. That's my guess. Call it feminism, call it equality, call it whatever you want to call it. And the poskim are quite explicit that in those cases, you do not say Dina Malchus Adina. You say Dina Malchus Adina, it's a practical consideration of Takonas Panei Medina, not driven by philosophy. So although I think I've got to make a good try, and maybe Rav Moshe thought it was just a practical consideration. I'm not convinced it's really true. Yeah.
Equal distribution is a concept in terms of division of marital property. It's not a concept in alimony. And he's talking alimony. That's what they did alimony for. Mm-hmm. Equal distribution has no track as well. Nor did community property have a track as well.
So you agree with what I'm saying, basically. That's two other things. Whether it's my theory or some other theory, the less likely it's. Okay. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at the question whether it's an effort which has which you have to slug up. You can disagree with it, or you don't even have to bother disagreeing with it. We'll leave it at that. Okay. I think maybe you can have to disagree with it, but we'll have to find out some more of the facts from Ben. I appreciate that. Right. Right. I must tell you that here Rabbi Gard has another suggestion that maybe there's a tzad lahokel, which is fascinating, which I'm just going to mention without going into the pratim. You can look it up yourself. Let's assume a shaloka did. Rav Moshe is wrong. There's no dina b'chus adina. So what are you going to gain if it's going to be supposedly support as opposed to penalty. What's the difference? Look what he says. I'm quoting. Page Tov Kuf Chav Dalet. Gam atashu k'shalokadin yerevach al kalponim k'shenoma shu onus min atzad sherei yitochen v'onus mama min atzad k'zu en apostles aget. Why not? Lahar b'deis asin s'lama shu k'shalokadin. Why not? Me'achash v'yesh laniach b'rov ha'mikrim she'ha'isha be'emes rotzo es ha'momen k'shalatzmo v'lo rakem tzoy la'asogas aget. In other words, if the additional money is purely that she wants to get a get, a trade off for a get, then it would be bad. But what if she really wants the money? There are women, there are goyim, goyim shul, they're not going to get. They want more money. He quotes, he quotes two sources. The Ranach, which siman do we have last week in the Ranach?
No.
He quotes Samach Gimel. Anyone have a slab here? Anyone have a slab that's look on page, what he calls Reish Tzadi Tes Amud Beis to Shin Amud Aleph. Has a look there, and the Mishnah Lamelech Hilchos Gerushin Perek Beis Halachachov suggests that. But this, even that might not work because the whole thing was instituted because of the get. He's just throwing out possibilities which either can are help a little bit or help not at all. I'm just quoting for what it's printed. Fine. Truth to tell, and this is again goes back to my earlier point, is there a need to slug this up or not? Even if there's a need to slug it up or to argue with it with respect to the original laws of that Rav Moshe was referring to back in Chelek Aleph, he's talking about 30, 40 years ago of support, alimony, etc., etc., he argues against himself in a sense, page Tov Kuf Chav Gimel, that when it comes to the New York State Get Law, even if you're going to now re-amend it, it'll now be explicit in the law that it's considered quote-unquote support and not a fine. He says, who are you fooling? We all know what this law is here for. And if for that reason you're not going to be able to say it's like Rav Moshe's din and machus din, it won't work. So he works himself on slugging himself up. I'm just pointing out that some things may be gained by at least making it explicit in the law that it's support in contrast to a penalty. Fine. Okay, that's the next point. So the Chorah, we're really in bad shape. Just so far, these are very... A, we haven't amended the law. And B, if you amended it, it's bad. Not, so the Chorah, almost every get is going to be no good. This is a very, very sobering thought. We're going to figure out how you're going to write the name with this kinui and that kinui. Chumris, I got to be chumris, I got to be chumris. But with all the getting won't get started. There's no rutzen. If it doesn't write beritzona, it's nothing with nothing. That's a big problem. It could even get to mom's there. If the get is no good and she remarries as a child, then it's that's a big problem. Big problem. Now, comes Rav Moshe with a svara. Rav Moshe with a svara. And this svara is mentioned. I want to go back to the original source. Rabbi Broid Shalita, a former member of this kolo, in tradition, summer 95. I'm giving you a reading, in which he quotes Rav Moshe's Chelek Gimel Simen Mem Dalet, which Rav Moshe writes as follows: that Eino Chinami, a man doesn't want to divorce his wife and is in effect compelled to divorce her because of this law. Bad news. However, that's not usually the case. For it's clear that the husband actually wishes to end the marriage and be divorced and is only contesting the fiscal details of the divorce but has no desire to remain married to his wife. Footnote 12. It's a little bit nasty. Footnote 12. Rav Moshe is hesitant to rely upon this rationale alone. So Rabbi Blinowitz gets back at him in tradition 1997, again, spring, and says, how can you say this? What are you doing? You write Rav Moshe on top as if not, who reads footnotes? And you don't bother, you relegate to a footnote the fact that Rav Moshe himself is in that same shiva, then ain't this mochal there. Unless it's Tzir of Sharp. He writes back, maybe I'm right. I mean, that's what gets a little bit nasty, whether he's intellectually honest or dishonest. But this is pointing out to you, these things we should. These are Moshe's svar. And it's pointed out by, I think they all agree, this has to do with a svar of the Chazon Ish as well. This is what Rabbi Broid quotes over here, that it's similar to what the Chazon Ish writes over here now in Simon Tzadi Tess Sivkot Beis. A similar idea. However, utilizing this as a basis for the get law is problematic, as Rabbi Malinowitz writes in 97. Why? The get law applies to all cases in the world. Who says that he wants to divorce her anyway? That's what he writes back. To which Rabbi Broid, who has the last word, at least in the 90s, he wrote last. He doesn't have the last licks. He writes back, and I think he's correct on this point. I think on this point that hold on a second. Hold on, I got to be at the right place. Here we go. Those who want to look it up later, page. I'll find it in a minute. That he writes over here that ruba de ruba, that the majority of cases when people come to a bezdin to have a get, by that point in time, they're not getting back together. Ruba de ruba. They're not coming back together. The husband is not intending to maintain the marriage. What does that mean? So that becomes now a very okay. Let me read what I said. Okay. Let's first, to be honest, Rabbi Black is making a very important point as usual. But let me first read what, to be honest, in the exchange, I have to read what it says. Okay, I don't want to. Okay, after calling him intellectually dishonest, more important, Rav Moshe Zatzal was discussing a specific case. Was indeed clear that the husband actually wished to end the marriage and be divorced, and is only contesting the fiscal details of the divorce, but has no desire to remain married to his wife. But there is no such requirement in the get bill. How then, in any divorce case, would such a fact ever be determined, and by whom? Similarly, the Chazon Ish is quoted as discussing a case where the husband made it quite clear before any coercion existed that he wanted a get. So Rabbi Broid is answering back. At the time of the sitting by the sofer, by the rabbanon, by the bezdin, it's already he gave up on it. To which Rabbi Black responds, "What do you mean? Because he says the chadish before any coercion existed that he wanted to get. That's going to be a question of did he want to get, before the went to the lawyer, the divorce lawyer. That's a question. My gut is that in most cases." He wants to get even then. I don't know if he's the word ruba de ruba, but ruba, I think he wants to get even then. And I think at this, both.
Some of them don't want to get, and some don't want a divorce. And the ones who want a divorce don't want to get. They want to adapt to that, and they want to be
ma'agen. And the Chazon Ish is mesupik, Rabbi Osai. If a guy wants to be ma'agen, what status does that have? It's a suffix in Chazon Ish. I can't be machvir that suffix. I'm not able to be machvir that suffix. Again, so now you have to do statistics. What percentage of people? No, I'm serious. Cause this is Rabbi Sai. I think this is going to be the. I'm sorry, as schwach as this is the best leg we have to stand on. I don't have anything better coming up. And we tried at the beginning. We basically came to almost nothing. I'm going to try a few things after. Going to come to. This is it. So if we're going to push this down completely, we're going to be in real trouble. Whatever, we're trying to do the best we can. But don't push this aside. There are people who are being divorced all the time after 1992 and remarrying and having children. We all know such people. So if you don't want to rely on some of these things, I don't want to say the word. Okay. Now, there's also a dispute. Interesting. I'm not a lawyer. I defer to professors of law. a dispute. What is the definition of community of is it called community property, marital property? What do you say, Ben? You're a lawyer. Who own my wife and I? We own an apartment. Right? Who owns that apartment? Let's take that. I own this tie.
Yeah, there's a difference.
So the tie is different?
Yes. Real property is it's empty by the entirety of the thing. If you acquire it during the course of that.
It's real property. What about movable property? We have
not empty by the
entirety. And who owns it?
Who owns it?
Whoever's name it's in.
Whoever was
kind of
it. Becomes marital property to be distributed and then redistributed. It has nothing to do with the violin mark.
That's what I thought.
Of course.
No, because Rabbi Broyd, who also has a law degree. I'm reading to what he quotes from a New York family law. I don't know who he's quoting from. Contrary to the title theory of property, equitable distribution is based upon the premise that marriage should be viewed as a form of economic partnership. Is that true? That means a couple's happily married. They live 50 years with, and then they're never going to get divorced.
Yeah.
That everything that they own,
it's not legal. Not a legal partnership where each part owns 50% of the asset. That
it's a tfusus habayis.
Yeah,
so then Rabbi Broy starts to argue, and I can't reject him. I thought he was wrong in the law, but he's the way he's saying it, I thought it was a little. So the question is, does the husband own the ass according to secular law? And the answer is, let me read, Rabbi Broyd's answer, that assets in the marital estate are owned by neither party. Oh. And can only be distributed by a mutual consent or judicial declaration. That's what I thought. I didn't think.
That's nonsense. ask our lawyer.
The advice of counsel, I refuse to. The answer that I make.
I also thought it wasn't true. If it would be true, then you could call it, you know, a Menia Satova instead of. They want to say it's like a kind of a Menia Satova. The judge is not giving him what he.
It
belongs to the judge. It belongs to nobody. So I'm just giving it. I have to be. I'm giving you a voice. I'm trying.
Judge owns 90%. He can do whatever he wants. 10% that goes to the wife until the husband gives it again. That's the law vested in her. Whatever this amount, they have to take into consideration.
Or to the husband if the wife refuses to take it again. You know,
we
have to be politically correct.
We have to be correct. That's not what we're talking about. Okay. But that 10%, the law vested.
I don't know if it's 10%. Okay, I hear what you say. Okay, I hear.
It's error based upon error.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. I thought I didn't know the second error. I thought the first error. But to me, it's chiddush. I thought Rabbi Linowitz, without a law degree, was right. Rabbi Broy, with the law degree, is wrong. That's what I thought. You're a law professor. That's higher than the degree. Rabbi Sai, Vaita. Rabbi Broy further argues that there is a concept called Minig HaSochrim, because of which, when a couple gets married, certainly post 92, they are marrying having in mind this concept of following the laws of the state of New York, which they're sort of bound, quote, bound by, and therefore, even if you will reject it as Dina de Malchus Adina, which we have to reject, as we said earlier, it gets into the back door of Minig HaSochrim. Lefi Ani Yesaiti, this is not correct. This is not correct. Everyone says it's going to go through. This is not correct. Why is it not correct? You have to look in the sources. You can't just machavek, whatever it is. You have to explain why it's not correct. You have to look. The reason that's not correct is you look in the Sma in Simon Shin Samach Tes. That's what he explains why it's not correct. That goes all to the back of Siman Ayin Gimel. There's a concept of Yerusha Sabal, but it was known again Majorca, which is also true with Sarivosh. And that's the you have no right to go with that Mahalach, even though that was the minig. So there is Smayas, there's a stira between Siman Ayin Gimel and Siman Shin Samach. I think it's the following answer, I think is the normative answer. It all depends. If you and I enter into an agreement with each other, and while we're entering into an agreement, we bring up either directly or indirectly a certain issue, and in that issue, either we make a deal explicitly, or it's understood that we're following along the lines of Minig HaSochem. You and I sign a contract. You want to make some kind of a deal. And if the Minig HaSochem that's kach v'kach, I'm selling diamonds, whatever it may be, then Minig HaSochem is operative. And that's included, not Dina D'Malchusa, it's our din. Our din takes into account Minig HaSochem. However, writes Tzma, when this couple got married, they were lovey-dovey. He was 20 and she was 20. They weren't thinking then what's going to happen if she dies 50 years later and there's going to be a Yerusha issue. And since it wasn't Omen al Perek at the time, you cannot apply the principle of, quote, Minig HaSochem. That is what the Tzma says. And I think that's acceptable by Halacha. The Fiyani Yuzaiti, that same thing applies over here. When a couple's getting married, they're not thinking they're going to get divorced in 20 or 30 years from now, or whenever it's going to be, and therefore, Minig HaSochem does not apply. Never. He would say, even though the divorce rate is more than 50%.
Yeah, you're right, but they're opposed.
Really?
Yes.
Who argues on this matter?
Two first, in the three must quote, there was some scarlet shooters that thought that the Dune applied to Kalukas Rishus, a kind of a minute as a Nasora, presumably based on the concept that the Baal was claiming during the course of the marriage of Baskin, and she was able to meet with me. I read them, if I understood them correctly. Doesn't mean they say that. They say, you know, that you have to shame us, whatever it means. That's how I understood those things. The other source, and I've looked and looked and looked, and I can't find it. And I don't think it's right. So it was once in Toronto, during Prius, during Chazaras Hashem, I was blethering through the Havolim community, and in the back, end of the tshuva, the Rosrovar said that the alimony was given in, not because in the Mahusa or whatever, but Al Das came, he got married. That was the right sort. Now, I think I find it.
Okay, so good. So someone else said it.
No,
did he quote it? Maybe he quote
it. I can't find it.
Maybe he quote it.
No, I can't find it.
Maybe he quotes the Kabbalah by name. I should look at his footnote. He doesn't. Okay.
I can't find it now either. No, by not me, I think it's wrong. Even if the small word is right, this is not.
Okay, good. Okay.
It's not like we're good.
Good.
Like,
good. So I'm going through point by point. I'm explaining to you, Rabbi, say what we're up against here. Very serious stuff. I'm trying to give everyone a chance. Every throw I'm going to give it to you guys, 9 different throws. I'm trying to give them all a chance as best I can. That's interesting. In Atz Noyim, even Rav Moshe, which says nothing, has 4 words. Look in the Otzer Apotskim, and Hilchos Tanoim, there's one opinion which maintains that it means community property, 50-50. If that's the case, then it's against the law. We are much more liberal and much more advanced in Atz Noyim than New York. They woke up much more recently than California. However, most Poskim say it's just the Shuf for the Shtorah. It's just nothing. Besides that, our Tznoyim are never signed or accepted by the Chosin and the Kal. They're signed and accepted by the Betum V'Chutanim. So I don't think you have any, I don't know.
Well, Tznoyim wants to find out about the Tznoyim around now, but they weren't
the Tznoyim. Yeah, but the Mice, I've been to many weddings these days.
We eliminated them. You and I eliminated.
You want me.
That's why we took out the
Okay. If you're going to do that, then explain what it means. The Yishtub and the Sam Shavu B'Shavu, the Hainu, community property. Then, okay, that makes sense.
And then, so what? I'm still not hoping. I haven't actually get to that.
Why? They still have a
Yishtub and the Shavu B'Shavu, now the judge is not going to let him do it.
Oh.
It's going to be Geneva Mamish.
Geneva Mamish.
Before they.
Right, correct.
Shavu B'Shavu.
50-50 means 50-50.
And now the judge says you can't have equitable distribution.
That's right. Correct.
I'm going to put my hand in your pocket and say, I'm taking your tonight, I'll take it away from you.
That's right. Rachel's correct as usual. He's right again. This will only be a help for, generally speaking, that a woman goes before any of these laws with a shower on every single guest.
Yeah, it's getting old.
Right. All the getting were based on.
It would be a nice, it would be a tickle to prevent all the
people being
gazelle.
Okay. Should that also a tickle? Should make light of that either. Okay, weiter. Correct. Correct. A major problem. I don't know the Jersey law. Yeah. That's not the case.
What? I didn't know anything at the time. I just said that can't be true.
Yeah. Aguda does not belong. The only bizarre that Aguda, unfortunately, has is they weren't able to stop it. But they should have stopped it in advance. A stitch in size. July, I think, whatever. It was the middle of the summer when no one's around. And there was, maybe you remember, Rabbi Black, you wrote it yourself in one of those letters, that they knew a little bit and they didn't expect it to happen so fast. And I don't know, it doesn't pay. This is a side point. Let me get to my main Nakudas. I still have a few Nakudas left. Rabosa. Let's go on. Another Svar. The Pischei Tshuva, Sivkot and Yud Aleph, has the following nekuda, a suggestion. What will happen if a woman will give the man money? So then, the Pischei Tshuva quotes that if there was an onus moment, and then megarish bekabolas moment, then we can say it's certainly going to work. It's a kind of a toyu v'zoven, etc., etc. That's a svara like that. So Rabbi Broid writes, every settlement, she's giving him money. And she's giving him something, so that we should apply the principle of the Torah's Gittin over here. I think it's Torah's Gittin. Pitzchei Tshuva for sure. End of Sifkot Yod Aleph, and now Simon Kuf Lamed Aleph. Lefiani, its idea is incorrect. In fact, exactly. It's just Chalifin. She's not giving him something which she's not entitled to. For cash, she takes him for all he's worth. Just that they're making out of that Chalifosi. I just don't think it's right. I'm trying very hard to get it. I'm quoting everything. He has 9 arguments. I'm trying to give. I'm trying my best. I just don't think it's right. What am I going to do? Next. Then, it's a small knas. If it's a small knas, then it's too insignificant that a person to give a get to avoid this knas. Then he starts going through the various cases that it's happened. There's another tradition I didn't bring, 98, which Rabbi Broid writes, there's never been a case. It's always settled out of court. That's exactly the point. There's never a case. He starts to make a cheshbon. There are 14 considerations. Each one's going to be the same percentage. So it's 7%. So it's 3.5%. Mehechas is all the same. Who said so?
No idea what the
concept is. Exactly. No idea. One of the suggestions in Tav Shin Nun Ches, and that meeting was, say what the knas will be. Make it a small knas. So then we can argue a small number will not be considered to be a gavus, of course. A small number. May I compel him to give a get? Look, it'll be a little bit. So that's what we're trying to is walk that tightrope. That was one of the things that was introduced. I'll read you some of the suggestions inside. Anyway, right now he could be afraid of being killed with Ganson. He could be He can be anything can happen. Now, to be honest, when this letter was written in Tavshin Nun Ches, let's say he'll give a small amount of money, 5%, maximum 5%. So maximum 5%, then you can argue that it's not going to be necessarily a get me'usa. So comes Rav Yashin. Ooh. The shiva was written, the shiva was written to Rav Yashin. He writes back, what for? What do you give me 5%? What 5%? The 5% is on top of the 50% she's getting already. 55% is a small amount. So on that, you can really argue. The 50%, that's happening with no git, and it's happening by the goyim. Not in the coup. I don't know why he didn't like this. I'm just telling you what's written over here. You can look it up, Rav Yashin Shuva, on page Tuf Kuf Lamed Dalet. And it's Yeshua. Very good. Okay. Then there's a fight about Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan, the Be'er Yitzchak. The Be'er Yitzchak says, based on the Diyuk and the Rishonim, that if the guys are hitting you and you say in front of them, Rotsani, it's gorged. It's Medayik. If you say Rotsani in front of the Bezdin, then it's meaningful. And since we know that every single Bala Megarish says Rotsani in front of the Bezdin, so says, no, going to Be'er Yitzchak, it's okay. Comes Rav Malinowitz and says, that's ridiculous. If you look in the original of the Be'er Yitzchak, it's Hocha B'mayaskina, in a case in which is a mitzvah legarish. It's limited to certain cases. Then we say that would be correct. But who says it's a mitzvah legarish in every single case that it comes in front of the New York State Council or Meisha case? So here, it's an interesting thing. So Rabbi Broyd says that even Rabbi Yashiv agrees that it would be. I think. Comes Rabbi Broyd and is rejoined to Rabbi Malinowitz and says, what do you mean? Even Rabbi Yashiv concedes that the get would be good according to the Be'er Yitzchak. What do you want? That's what he writes over here. Those who want to look it up. If I can find it. Page 37. Even Rabbi Yashiv's Shuvah addressing the get law concedes that the get law would not lead to void get under the approach of Rabbi Spector. Don't think he concedes that. He argued. He doesn't like it. He says it's wrong. He says Rabbi Yitzchak is wrong. Doesn't mean what would be. I didn't see that. I didn't see that. So that's another try, which I'm afraid. What can I do? Here's a new one. Everyone who gets married in New York after 1992 is Mekabel Knas Al Atzmo. And then it's going to be good according to the Rambam. New York. He's probably planning to live in New York. So it's a knas machmas atzma. Maybe it's l'shitasa, you say, minigas sochrim, so that's all that's in the back of his mind, the fact that there's no such Kabbalah, lahoyu dvar me'ol. Sorry, I'd love to adopt any of these positions. I can't do it. Problem. It's very complex when it is and when it's not a problem. Very complex because the interplay is always very delicate. A man may be giving a get, what they call in the shadow of the get law. He's afraid that if he doesn't give the get, he's gonna cost them money. That's a very serious problem. Very serious problem.
That last claim that how can I get married in New York?
Yeah.
So if you tell us in the column, the Shas Kufa,
preacher
holds if they get divorced. Does that change anything?
According to this, what? I don't know. Maybe. So, getting back to where we started. This law is bad. But Roy said it's bad. It's a bad law. So when the people after 6 years had passed and there was no movement, we couldn't get it repealed. Now with another 6 years have passed since then, so that's when we try to modify it in various ways. That's where this whole shuva came from. It's printed here in the Yeshurun. So a number of other suggestions were made to try to make it a little bit better. We wanted to suggest, instead of saying the judge must, say that the judge can. That makes a difference in halacha. Makes a difference in halacha. The Maharik says, if it's not clear that it's going to happen, so it's called hafchada, gizum vafchada, may not be considered to be an onus. That's a very big difference. If the judge must, then it's really bad news. If the judge can, it would make it significantly better. Then, another suggestion was made. Hey, let's limit the law to a case in which the husband doesn't want to stay with his wife, doesn't want to stay married to her. Then you have Rav Moshe Svara and Chela Gimel, Simon Mem Dalet. Of course, what would likely happen, what happens in Eretz Yisrael, every husband would come and say, I want Shalom Bites. But I'm not sure what happened in America, and I'm not sure if he's telling the truth. At least the judge could look him in the eye and say, it's true or not true. That would make it better. Those are some of the suggestions that we threw in. Of course, the women were very much opposed to all these suggestions. It's cutting away at the law. Cutting away at the law. What they wanted to do was criminalize extortion for a guest. So a little thrown into the pot. Rav Yosher wasn't happy with that part either. It was make things worse. But Kitza, this is a fascinating series of meetings that I had. I was involved in it. And my name appears here in the Yeshurun, together with Rav Feivel Cohen and Rabbi Landesman. Rav Feivel Cohen tried to undermine the whole thing by writing to Rav Yashiv, don't listen to what we're writing. He signed the original Yeshurun and then said, don't listen to us because it's going to lead to Hitiru Purushim Asadav to go to secular court, v'chuli v'chuli. Rabbi Landesman wrote back, that's crazy. They're going to court anyway and we have to say more about Agunas, that's more important. And Rav Yashiv didn't want to get involved in these two people who he respects. He never got to discuss that question, which might be called a quote public policy. Should we play along with this even though it's going to cause people to think he's too pushy with other? He said, the get, but we'll say anyway, and all these tikkunim won't help. That's what he said. Rabbi Isai, we are in trouble. I'll begin to read you what he said. He basically rejected the initial points. They wanted to go on Rav Moshe. He said, look at Rav Moshe. Lemaisa, emphasize, bold. Lohitir ela v'nidon didei shabala yachayv emzonis min adin. All right, so then the question is, you know, what they order, what our Bezdin would order, the same amount, a detail. But in many cases that we're dealing with, the husband's not chayv to give him emzonis min adin. She's a moredes in many cases. So therefore you have no right to rely upon what Rav Moshe writes in Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Lamed Zayin. And he told him it's 55%. That's also on the same page. And if he gave her money, it's an ironic thing. Rav Yashiv is so sharp. The only way to get out of this hole is that she gives him money. Now that you're criminalizing that, you're preventing the only way we can have a good guess. You're making it worse. Ooh. Therefore, he says, I'm not going to even discuss the second question of the policy. Goodbye. That was the Sultan Rav Yashiv. Chad v'chalak. So where does that leave us? It only leaves us with that original svara of Rav Moshe, right? That says that if he doesn't want to stay married to her, then it's not going to be considered a get moves. That's Chela Gimel Simon Mem Dalet. That's all it leaves us. That's Tachar. There's nothing else. The Pashas. Is there anything else at all? So, okay. That'll be a case by case basis. There are many cases, I believe. I think that's true. There are many cases where they're not. This marriage is over. It's over, not just functionally over. He loves to get rid of it on his terms, of course. There's no having me. This marriage is going to really come back together. Okay, so in those cases, you have the Rav Moshe, which he himself doesn't want to align it completely by itself. This is very good. No, that's the best I can do. And then you have to get the problems of what came first. The coercion came first. There was his Yishana came first. And that, every case is different. You can't just make a broad brush. Every case is different. Some cases, I think Rav Lach is correct. He gives up after he's being forced by the judge in a quote. In the chambers of the lawyers, then he gives up. Before they didn't give up, there could be such cases. My personal view is that the majority of the cases are not that way. My personal view, based on what I've seen. So what I'm saying is that maybe we can say that what did we say that mamza vadev lo mamza safek will kick in over here, that you don't have to worry about the children of these second marriages. But that's only on that basis. That's not a very comfortable. I want to mention two other things. One is something which is a tikkun, I think, that Rabbi Black suggested in a somewhat more dramatic way, which hasn't happened, but I thought it could be put in maybe in a less dramatic way, which maybe can has a better chance of actually happening. In these cases, you know, first he's coerced, and he comes to Bess, and he says, I'm not coerced anymore, and I really want to get rid of her, I want to dump her, she's a machshefer. And the question is, you know, is he telling the truth? Is he not telling the truth? So, you know, it's hard to know, because after all, it's old Yodon Natuya, Los, look at Pitzchah Chur right over here from the Mishnah Zagam, Losar Kocho, and the judge still has the power to do it. It's not Pashit at all. Not at all Pashit. However, in these cases, they quote from the Beis Ephraim, the Ephraim Zal Margolius, who was the Vaplukta of the Mishkanes Yaakov, back and forth, many chuvas in these in Yonin. If after he was forced, he took a cherim and a shvur and says that I'm now doing it of my own volition, I'm just saying it. I don't believe it. He takes a cherim and a shvur, and if we know 100% that it's a lie, that the cherim is a lie and the shvur is a lie, then you can't give the get. But if it's not clear what he really wants, then since he was moose at the beginning, we have to possible the get, unless it's a cherem and a shul. So, I believe Rabbi Black wrote this in one of the Mishnah Maram. To make sure there's a formal cherem and a shul, such as no one's done it yet, to my knowledge.
Of course not. That wasn't the serious problem. Because unfortunately, our Baal HaMadar is just the shul, and it dominates
by the second day. Two kids. Yeah, but that no one's done yet. But I want to suggest the chair. I mean, like I said, give one get, I'll be the puzzle to get. Now the second, that'll satisfy the judge. Now the second get is given the gavur. It's a wonderful suggestion. I think it solves all the problems. But to my knowledge, no one has done it, and I people are just not about to do it. I don't know why.
Kacha.
Yeah. Because the judge is not so smart.
Number one, there is no
joke. Right. The whole law is a joke.
The law is a joke. I've signed these affidavits for it. That I'm the Baal HaMadarish. There's no barrier to remarriage that I can do, because the get will be a get Musa. Here's the affidavit that the rabbi has said to. And therefore, Your Honor, I forget the law. It doesn't apply. It was written not for Jews. It was written, I don't know for whom, because every get is bottled. Or at least for this Jew, it's bottled. For this rabbi, you can't say the rabbi is wrong. That the judge has no right to do that. And I provide the affidavit. Mm-hmm. So
we had a case where it almost worked.
It almost worked. So Rigler takes a look at it, and he says, I don't understand. Well, this is not my business. Let the rabbis worry about it. The Jew gives a get. And let the rabbis worry about whether it's
a good get or not.
Good get or not.
That's judicial irresponsibility, if you ask me.
Yeah, of course it was. Absolutely. I mean, who do you think sits in this court? This is how it is. So, in front of the judge, he did whatever he wanted to do. That was the end of it. But there's one thing that's clear. If the Baal HaMadarish shows up with the get that's possible, the judge has to accept it. He has to accept the get that's possible. He can't go past it, whether the get is court or the get is possible.
It's the same stuff.
Yes. I don't want to.
You write in English.
Right. Whatever you want. The first piece of paper is for the judge. This is the get. I mean, you got to be able to claim with a straight face. If you write this, and once there.
The Chazanish says we spoke about it in our earlier chaburas. You write it. That's a good.
Yeah, okay, but it has to be something that's colorable. No good, fine. And then.
You said it for real.
You go to the judge of the Marmoshah. If there's no get that's kosher, then what do you want from me? The get was spread to apply. If the statute does apply, here's the get.
That's correct. Completely correct. I don't want to go into the crazy argument that I was present with. Rabbi Black was talking to some other guy who walked in, some attorney. It was in Israel, I think, somewhere. It was wild. the whole the get law is not a problem, because of course the get is not going to be a good get, so therefore it's not going to be. It was like going around in circles. our friends,
yeah.
It was really wild. Anyway, so how does every get begin? Every get begins. First question of a get. Ata noisen get zemer etzoncha belishim onus etznai. Ever seen it? The first question. What does he say? Hey, yes. They have it now in English. Right, in English. I want a second. I want to put in the second one. Quote. Ata mekabel atzcha v'cherem v'shvua. She'emes b'lvav k'k she'amata sh'ata megarish b'rotzen b'li onus. Hey. If he... I put it in English. Hebrew won't work. English. How would you translate the word chayim? Hard to translate. Shvu is an oath. An oath, we know what an oath is. An oath is, you don't need chayim, you don't need chayim and a shvu. You do them, should be enough. I'm saying chayim and an oath. That's all. I think if the, everyone knows what an oath means.
Yes, they don't know shvu, the concept of shvu in Torah, they know what it means. The word oath, even though
an oath is a
Although it's not
the guarantee that the
shrewd
is, they do
give
the same. Right. Right.
Right.
That's what you said. I'm just, instead of making
a
thing, I think
it's an
after the
guarantee.
Right.
There wouldn't be a guest, there wouldn't be a judge, there wouldn't be a lawyer,
he's the shrewd
also.
Inspect
me to say yes? Must one
say those three things?
No, you said
that.
That's what it
means. I know, but even Rabbi Blackster didn't say you have to say the guest, but they said it's taken.
But I told you why I don't think it's realistic.
Why?
Because I can't trust the Baal Megar.
You have to say that. Father Shekin. Some cases.
95% of cases. Unless he doesn't know what's going on. I mean, a rational person knows that he doesn't give the get, it's going to cost him money. Now, why is he giving the get? Does he know himself why he's giving the get?
He hates his wife.
He hates his wife. He gets rid of his wife without a get. He does need the get. What do you need the get for?
He wants to marry someone else.
He needs to get
yeah, he doesn't know from the fakers and the borough, which we spoke about earlier. That,
hence, which
I want to tell you that you're correct, but most, I think still that even despite these terrible stories that we're hearing about, the people who are having two wives at the same time, that most people don't want it. I can't imagine that most people are willing to have two wives. I'm talking about the
firm. The get law applies to a triangle.
Okay.
90% of the people, not 98%, are thriving.
Right.
Who is he giving? He's giving the get, he doesn't know what a get is.
Right.
And all he knows is this is a bargaining chip. And the judge took it away from him.
But those 98% of the women aren't so concerned about a get either. I don't think they're not fighting so much.
The women are fighting. The women want to get a full sort of weight.
Could be. I haven't seen it. But maybe the Friday just... They don't do it because the grandmother wants to do it or someone wants to do it. They're not fighting about anything. That's what I guess my hands-on experience has shown me. Oh. There is a Torah's Gittin here, which is, I'm trying to end soon. The Torah's Gittin says, a quote about the Pesachei Tshuva, Maisim b'chol yom, that the woman takes things from the husband. You saw the Pesachei Tshuva. Takes things from the husband. And she's not going to give it back to him unless he gives her a get. And my son, the get is going to be kosher. Why should it be kosher? Why? Says the Chazanish, again. Nisyaish milahashlim ito. He already gave up on, he's not going to be a shani bias anymore. Forget about it. It's just a spiel. It's a game. That's a possible cool in our situation, too. Again, in situations in which the marriage is over, in those limited situations. No limited situation.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
He's giving her a get now based upon the fact that she stole from him before.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes he can't live in the same house with people on his field.
Right.
This is a different house. This is the woman who is threatening that you don't give me a get, even without living together, or break into the house and take some work. And saying it to them over. So, you know, she that the same woman in the Pharisee case will say, don't give me a get, I'm coming back one more night. Let's do it again. That's a get loser. And this is the judge saying, one more night. I'm going to take the whole house from you.
Could be. I have to look careful.
Okay, so I'm going to say, I'll give it back to you unless you give me the get.
I don't even think she was offering to give it back. I'll give it to her to get the get. There's an older woman that she was getting confidence from to say that they want to leave her to prevent the ongoing debate. So he wants to know what to do to prevent the ongoing debate, or down to saying, give me the get or I steal from you.
Okay, my last point. My last point, and I'll end with this. The last point, Rabbi Osai. There's an argument, one of the arguments between the Beis Ephraim and the Mishkanes Yaakov goes a little bit like this. I'm not going into all the every prat to prat. She is stealing from him. The Beis Ephraim writes, a woman who steals, an Isha Ra, mitzvah legarsha, wants to live with this crazy lady. Not an easy alaget. The Beis Ephraim proves this from Moredes. We don't say that she stole from him. She stole from him Tashma, she stole from him Malacha. Yeah, he sees that she's a crazy woman, a Moredes, she's a Ganef. So he gets an Isher out of his house, Miratona. That's how the Beis Ephraim understands this Torah. He comes to Mishkanes Yaakov and says, no. No. There, she is not forcing him to divorce her. There's no compulsive divorce. Not at all. There's a chandra ben a gershon. All right. That's his problem. His problem. Okay. Moreover, and this is the critical point. This is in Simon Mems of Cotton Zion in Mishkanes Yaakov. Quote, the bevadai lo ya'arero, the imkain ishto ashnia te'osar olav mechandra ben a gershon. You want to remarry? And he compares it to what he calls the first gezeirah of the Sikrikan, according to the Rashba. Again, I don't have time to go into that. The Pitzchet Shuvah Torah is given to talk by Riches about the three times of Sikrikan and getting up and hey, you look at it by Riches. It seems that what the Mishkanes Yaakov is saying is as follows: that if a man is not ma'arer, the get is kosher. And all the cases that Gemara is talking about is if ultimately there's going to be an error on the get. I don't know how quickly after the get is given must the error take place. Maybe he's afraid to be ma'ar right away because the judge is going to still hit him. But after it gets past the judge, whatever time that is, he's still not ma'arer. That seems to me to be a possibility of another tzira flahakol. Namely, one more time. That if the Baal is not ma'arer, according to this for the Mishkanes Yaakov, he doesn't ma'arer. He goes on his merry way. He marries a second wife. She has another husband. And then there's never any irurim. That might be a tadahok. A tad. I repeat what I said before. This law should be repealed. All I'm trying to do is find possible tzadim to be makshir the children of second marriages of Gittin given after the get law of 1992. Thank you very much.
The court can force him to waste them because that's a constitutional thing. Let's make a look that they have to go to
the bar. Whoever wants to look at these
I'll post the sources tonight
okay.
on the site so we can give me the assurance.